This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Welcome to our podcast, and today we have Leen de Bruyne. He is an entrepreneur, an author, and an investor from the Netherlands, and he wrote an interesting book. So, Leen, welcome. Good to see you here.
Thank you very much. Good to see you too. Happy to be here.
Yes, and Bill, it's good to have you also.
Hi, hey, it's so great to see you again and be with Leen in this opportunity to hear his very, very interesting story. I'm looking forward to this podcast very much.
Yeah, so Leen, you were very young. You know, we had a pre-talk. You were very young when you started, was part of starting a business. And then you collapsed at, I think, when you were 29. And here you were, successful, and there became a search, and you started writing a book. What? I read the book. It's very recommendable. And we will put a link in the with this podcast. But what made you decide to write a book, Leen?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question and introduction, Gaia. Well, first of all, I don't consider myself as successful, or not any longer terms that I would like to identify myself with, but we can talk about it later. So the question is, why did I write a book? Well, I think when you go to a business school or you want to be an entrepreneur or professional, you learn a lot of things about business, hopefully. But you don't learn a lot about, let's say, the emotional, physical, spiritual side of life. And you have to find out normally in life. It takes a very long time. Some people learn a little bit. Some people do not learn that much, as it seems. So I've been gone through some bad experiences myself. I had an anxiety disorder for a few years as a result of exhaustion, which came because of the way I worked and the way I was reflecting on what work was or what I was doing. Yeah, after I figured out a few things, then I thought, why not share my experiences with the broader audience, especially targeting founders, young entrepreneurs, not giving them advice. There's no entrepreneur in the world who likes somebody that says, you should do this, you should do that. So I thought, I can just write down little stories from my own experience, my own observations, which I have with other people about different topics. And yeah, it ended up with 100 little stories. I combined this in a book. The English version is called Building a Startup Without Going Crazy.
Yeah, that's quite revealing. And while you share, I see Bill laugh, you know, especially when you said, well, no entrepreneur wants to kind of, you know, be taught. Why are you laughing like that, Bill?
I think it must be something in the entrepreneurial spirit that just says, this is a mountain I need to climb. I'm going to get this company started. And it feels like it's such an independent experience. And in a way you want it to be, I guess. But I felt exactly what Leen was talking about. Is I had people come by and give me some good advice, and I was judging it, saying, but you don't know the whole picture. You don't understand. I'll do it my way. And then pretty soon I could recognize when the advice was really wise, and I was able to kind of humble myself and go back and pick it up and use their ideas.
So why would these entrepreneurs like Bill and like our listeners want to buy your book, Leen?
Well, I don't know. I got a lot of personal messages actually about this book. I think more than 50 people reached out to me personally or wanted to have a coffee or a walk or just saying thank you. So it did something to people. Yeah, I think when you want to hear the inside story, so what's going on the founder's journey, on the journey of an entrepreneur. As human beings, we like to think that all our experience are an individual thing, you know, but the things we're going through are a very shared experience most of the time. The struggles we have are the same struggles. So, and an entrepreneur is a specific type of person, I would say, a little bit crazy, a little bit addictive to work or other things, a little bit ambitious, too ambitious. Independence value of independence is very high on the value list. And that combination, it can be potential dangerous for your health, I would say, for your relationships. So that's why it might be interesting or useful to read and learn about this kind of topics.
And I like how you express how you wrote the book. You know, you're talking about about a dance.
Huh.
So share with us.
Yeah, it was in the pre-talk indeed. So I shared that I decided to write a book in a way that I woke up every morning. And then when there was one topic that came into my mind during the night, basically, or I stood up with in the morning, then I only wrote one little piece about that specific topic. And I did it for as many days until I was, let's say, out of topics. And then, of course, I erased a few, I edited a few, did some editing. That's a normal process. But in that way, I ended up with 100 stories. Yeah, that's maybe one of the lessons that I learned, that as an entrepreneur, you can be too rational, too focused on goal setting or specific ideas how things should be. And I learned it's much better, healthier for yourself, but also the fruit, the result will be probably better if we start more from the heart and from the intuition, and then use our mind, yeah, our rational brain to check things, of course, and to do some follow-up. But it's a dance between intuition and our rational mind. Brain.
Yeah. And then, you know, you wrote some notes before, so I'm reading that. Beyond intuition and reason, there is the power of prayer, the power of faith, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I want to, you know, when our faithful listeners, when you talk about the morning receiving ideas, you know, we've heard Bill share that too. How do you experience those mornings, Bill?
I think it happens most often when I kind of come out of sleeping and you wake up a bit, something becomes aware that you're there. But it just feels to me like my spirit and the Lord's spirit, that realm, the kingdom, often what we call it, just were able to be uninterrupted while I was sleeping. My brain wasn't going after trying to solve everything. And so when Late talks about it's located in his heart, that he actually was focused. I really resonate with that because I think that's where we get most of our spiritual connectivity. It's a language of the heart. It's experience of the heart as well. It's not an experience of the mind. And so I just would receive ideas. They would just pop in. They would just be there, from designs to ideas to hunches to plans. And it gives me that feeling I'm no longer alone in this challenge, in this task, that there is someone accompanying me, and he's very smart, and he also shares ideas willingly.
Well, Lane, you know, we are talking here about kingdom keys for business, for life, for work, and you know, there are 100 thoughts in this book, and it's not preachy. I can promise that to the listeners. It's you know, sharing from your experience and kind of, but you mentioned the of identity, to identify with the right things. Can you explain? What do you mean with that?
Yeah, so into kind of personal crisis, exhaustion, anxiety disorder, severe burnout for years, actually. I did things during this time, so it was not that I completely at home, but I realized I have to try to redefine success, you know, or to find a way that is more sustainable. And I was reading books, I was studying philosophy, I did also, let's say, following Christian courses and talking to others. And on a certain moment, I was listening to Henry Nouwen, for example. So he's written the famous book, what is the English name? The Prodigal Son, I think. And yeah, he says basically that people have the unconscious mechanism that they identify constantly with things. Like, what do I know? What do I have? What do other people say about me? And all those things are basically not very good for your health. If your mood or identity is based on what others say about you, especially in this age of X and social media, probably have a bad time. If your identity depends on what you possess or have, and then you lose something, as an entrepreneur, you can win some, but also you can lose some, you know, you will have a hard time again. If you rely on your own intelligence, you think, yeah, I'm really smart, I'm smarter than others, and then suddenly you're not able to move or to just be in your bed, you cannot sleep and your mental functions stop working, then that was the case. It was in my case 10 years ago. Then I also experienced kind of crash. Then I also was a Christian, of course. Also by that time, I went to church, I read books, I had some spiritual experiences and now and then. But still, I did not get this. I did not get by that time that being a Christian means that you're basically, you get a new identity. when you believe in Christ, you get a new identity in Christ, which means in the first place that you're adopted as a son. So the Christian faith is, I think, the only philosophy in the world where religious way, or the way you start living with it, starts with acceptance. So it starts with full acceptance and basically freedom, and every start from there. So it's not the end of the process, it's the start of the process. And as an entrepreneur, and I see it also with many other people, you try to get somewhere, to get to climb a kind of mountain of achievement, to show that you can do something, you know, you want to have to reach certain things. And it's much nicer if you can start from a starting point where everything is already there. Doesn't mean that you should then be not motivated anymore to achieve big things, because as a Christian, you know, we're part of the creation. God is the creator. We are a call to create. I very strongly feel that call to create, to build every day. It's really motivating to me, but it's a different motivator.
I see you kind of wisely like a dad nodding, Bill. I have heard you say also about identity, and you know, you talk about three things. Why don't you share it with the audience?
I talk about three things? Which three things?
Yes. I don't know, right? Well, it's, you know, that we indeed have our identity from the Father. Joy is not circumstantial.
Yes. I totally agree with what Lane is saying, though. It is all about identity. And I love the way he just explained it, that we get what we're looking for on the first day of the journey. If we actually connect with the Lord, we have our acceptance there. And it's all based on his work, not on ours. It really is a very unique way to understand ourselves and the world that we're in. And then he will push me some to continue to actually grow in that area. I remember one of the times he says that you're doing it again. You're acting like you're alone in the world. And it was kind of a disappointment to him that I would do that. But I know that that is often my habit. That's the way I lived for a long time before I found the Lord. And so we're in this process of becoming comfortable with what we would call abiding, I think, just doing everything together with him. And that's kind of the goal that I understand that he's taking me on, that like even just loading up this business to ship it off to Nigeria, it's just something we're doing together. And so it's not a difficult experience. It's just an expression of a friendship. There's a true friendship. And then I love that. And what you were talking about, I think, Kay, is that from the Father, I get my identity. Every family that is named in heaven on earth comes from the Father. And from Jesus, I get my salvation. I'm made healthy and whole again. And I get an invitation to his kingdom. And then from the Spirit, I get the counselor, the comforter, the one who comes with me and the best teacher in the world. My daily sort of experience often comes from the Spirit, but I'm set. I mean, it really is a wonderful way to describe it. You get what you're looking for on the first day of the journey.
Well, thank you for adding to that, Bill. Lane, another key, you know, one of the threads, I think, in the whole is loving yourself. You know, we are often in Christian love one another, and loving ourselves can sometimes be neglected, or sometimes it can even feel holy. You know, I was with a mission called Mercy Ships for many years, and there can be like a sense of holiness when you suffer and when you kind of push through. And of course, there is space for that, but it can be also become destructive and kind of know some. Also some missionaries or some really well-meaning. And I think sometimes even the people who are very responsible, you know, that they're burnout or they're so. What would you like to share in that whole area of caring for yourself and how do you do that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Okay, I think especially as Christians, it's even harder because we've all grown up with the idea of sacrifice, right? So the sacrifice of Jesus and basically that we also should do the same, bringing sacrifices. But it should not be translated into neglecting ourselves. That's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's even in a certain way, it's not honoring God as well, because also as a Christian, you know, we should be humble. We try to be. But our humbleness can very easily turn into a kind of Christian pride, where we try to perform very much so in the church or in other areas. And we think that we're really doing God a favor or our neighbors or ourselves, but it might not be the case. And when you go back to the great commandment of Jesus, the summary of the law, he says we should love basically three persons. So God, in the first place, above ourselves, our neighbor, and ourselves. In the church, sometimes we think we should love God and we should love our neighbor, but we forget ourselves. And it's the idea of love is that it's kind of overflowing thing, you know, it multiplies, but it should have a source. If you cannot find or locate a source in yourself to love yourself, it's also harder to love others or to love the people in the church or to love God. And that can be a problem, because if we do things without love, then we are also open to sometimes manipulation or stressing out or using other tactics to get what we want to achieve also in Christian work. So I found out it's important to at least to stop neglecting ourselves, like simple things. Sleep enough, invest some time with friends, eat good food, have a balanced way of working. You also try to be a little bit of a nice person also for your colleagues, you know, and teammates, that you're not so stressed that everyone will be stressed because of you. Yeah, and that's what I write in the book about, also about these kind of simple things, actually.
But Bill, I've never asked this question to you. Bill, do you love yourself?
It has not been asked of me before, so I'm trying to think of the right answer. I love my life. And I love my heart. And I guess I would say I too love myself, probably in the sense that you're referring to. I enjoy being with me and him. I enjoy the abiding experience, even though I'm far from perfect. But that's not really the question when you're together with him. I think he likes me. And I'm fine with that.
I want to add one thing, because language is very important here. And you can easily get a misunderstanding in this, because in Christianity, love is also a paradox. I mean, in a sense that Jesus says, if you want to keep your life, you know, you should be ready to lose it. And if you're ready to lose it, you will keep it. So I think as Christians, we are not called to be very busy with ourselves, how we feel, or in a certain way, we should be able to lose ourselves, to really trust God and then, you know, just trust him that he will provide and take care for us. I was more talking about, let's say, on one side, active and neglecting for yourself. And on the other hand, it should not be over spiritual and only focusing on others. But we should also, try to find our own identity. And it's a struggle. We should try to get it, to realize it every day. It's definitely a struggle. It's not something you once and for all. We have to remind ourselves to the big truth every day. Otherwise.
Yeah, we just basically talked about that identity and like what you shared, Bill, that it's a growing thing. But I was once really struck by a lady. She has moved to Czechia, Hannah. Maybe we've very shortly met. You met her also, Bill. But I was with her at a conference and she was so attractive and so much joy glowing from her, and she was saying how God had healed her identity. And she said, now sometimes I get a glimpse in a mirror and I'm like, hi, I like you. It was like, this is not often talked. It's attractive. You know, it wasn't like she was all self-absorbed or she was just, I think. So that's something I just picked up, like, that's like what you say, Bill. I think when we feel loved by the Lord, you know, it's our identity. I think we get from, of course, doing some inner work, caring for ourselves, but also through the mirror of others. And I think you have I'm jealous of the mirror you have with Lord Bill. You seem to have this pretty clear. I seem to still look through misty things, but, you know, I'm happy to learn. Anyway, we go to the third key, Lane, living from a meaningful and hopeful perspective. So living with perspective, how would you describe that to the audience?
Well, I see a lot of people in Europe and in the West that have lost a kind of their perspective. For the first time in history that we think that our children will have a worse time than we had ourselves. And also it was a poll in America, I think last week, where 45% of the Americans said that they would prefer to live in the past instead of in the present times. If you add up, let's say, the massive mental health crisis, and people on drugs, as in youth that are completely are falling out. It's a very big crisis, I would say. And why is that? That is because we do not have really a perspective anymore. We don't have a certain thing in our vision ahead where we're sailing to, you know? More and more people are understanding it, but they can't find an answer, basically.
How did you find an answer, Lane?
Well, I think that my answer is that as a Christian, you have received eternal life. And that after, I believe in the resurrection of Christ, I believe that when he rose from the death, basically a new time has already started. We refer to it as the kingdom in Christian language, where Jesus is king and the world will be recreated in a good way, although it's not good now. But there are few things that are already good or improving, and we can participate in that. And that means that I do not have to rely on a kind of carpe diem mentality where I should have everything right now. Death is not the final destination for me and for us. It is a nasty thing that will happen, but it is not the final answer. And even if you are not a Christian, then I still think you should try to find, although it's a little bit difficult probably, to find and embrace a perspective where you can be hopeful. It may be strange, but for example, I'll give you a little story. I spoke to a woman in Portugal on a startup conference, and she was doing something with second-hand clothing and building a company. And she was a young woman, but she looked a bit depressed. So I asked her, I said, to be honest, you look a bit sad. What's going on? That was a few years ago. And then she said, yeah, you know, there's a climate crisis and I really believe the world will end up in a big disaster. I try to contribute with my little shop and secondhand clothing, but whatever I do, it will never be enough to save the world. So that's why I'm very depressed. Then I said, well, I get it. I recently started the fund. So we gave the fund the name Living Hope. The Living Hope refers to the resurrection of Christ. So in the Christian story, it might be a little bit weird. And even if you're not a Christian, it's still interesting. A person died on a cross and everything looks like, okay, it's the end of the story. And then after 3 days, he rose up from the death and there was a new reality. I think even if you're not a Christian, if you can believe that those things can happen, that we are very focused and believing that everything is going into the wrong direction, still, what would happen to you if you could believe that suddenly something could happen where things were going in the right direction and just keep on working, build your business and enjoy your life instead of being depressed or what might happen and you never know what will happen. And then she really started smiling, actually. She was completely relieved. She said, oh, wow, this is so interesting. It's so nice perspective. It's the best conversation I had. Actually, wanted to ask you for money because you're an investor in startups, but forget about that. Just thank you for this perspective.
Bill, talking about eternity, does the idea of eternity give you perspective?
Definitely, it does. Think about that transition. We referred to death a minute ago. I tend to think of it as the day I take my mortality and get it turned into immortality. And I've been wondering what that is actually going to be an experience like. And I'm very, very hopeful for all that the Lord has prepared for us ahead. And I'm just quite anxious to get there. I'm really looking forward to it. But one of the things that I hear Lane saying is that he has found a way to experience life and to talk about it and give invitation to it. So I think his perspective is actually coming because he's a man becoming more and more fully alive in the Lord by aligning to the Lord's plan for him, his destiny, if you want to use that word. And you can feel the hope in his language and his heart for Europe at the same time.
Yeah, we will talk about, you know, the heart for Europe and your fund in another podcast with you, because we are already running out of time. But before running out of time, Bill, is there something in this whole conversation that you want to pinpoint to? Or
I was just thinking of that image of the easy yoke that the Lord gave me some time ago, and I think we've explained it before, that as I learn to walk with the Lord through the experiences of my life, there is this growing security and identity and love and purpose. And that kind of combination of all of those things means I'm not alone. I am loved. And there is something to do, but not to do independently. Whatever he asked me to do, we get the experience of doing it together, which actually is very, very intriguing and wonderful to me.
Wonderful.
Is there something that you want to add, Lane, by the ending of this? Is there a thought that you say, hey, I want to give that to the listeners?
Yeah, maybe I can simply refer to another book that inspired me a lot, actually. It was called The Second Mountain from David Brooks, New York Times columnist. And that influenced my way of thinking in a big way, also professionally. What he basically says is, he says, use the metaphor of two mountains. He said people tend to first to climb the mountain of achievement. And on a certain moment, they have a crisis, hopefully. It's a good thing. And then they start climbing a second mountain. And that's more the mountain of meaning. And the mountain of meaning is defined by basically a sense of calling. That you don't work anymore from, let's say, a success perspective, but more from a calling perspective. The calling can be professionally, can be in your marriage, can be in your community. It can be many things. Calling also means that you work from a spot where you're meant to be, right? You start from the right place and you try to find where is the right place for you. So it's a process. But that's a very powerful book. And I even, the metaphor of the two mountains, I applied in the, I used for the logo of my new business, Living Hope. You can find the two mountains there. So read a book. It's very nice.
Well, thank you. And well, for our listeners, I like to kind of recapture, you know, some of the takeaways, because some of them I really like. It's a different language again than it's, I like the dance idea about, you know, so that's the question to you listeners. How is your dance between rationality and intuition and, you know, being opened beyond that for the space of prayer and faith, and then the other key of identity, of are you free, you know, of opinions of others, and the care, you know, of love yourselves and have it overflow from you. So, and then we talked about living with meaning. So I think there's some good keys and some good food for thought. And Lane, we are very much looking forward to our next talk with you in 2 weeks' time about the fund you started for and your vision for Europe and your ideas in this whole area. And again, we will do the, you know, the referrals in the text to the book. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much for the privilege. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Well, Bill, see you again.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, I look forward to it.
Do you seek to integrate your faith with your business? Wednesday, March 25th, Bill and I will start our next online training, Kingdom Mindsets for Business. We invite you to join this inspiring and hands-on 10-week journey with business people from around the world. Learn more on bemoves.com. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with another episode of the podcast Kingdom Keys for Business, Life and Work. And you'll find more episodes on our channel on YouTube.